One of the things I like about this time of year is the long days. It's light about 4:30 and dark about 9:30, something like that. Although, where we lived in Minnesota, we were farther north and farther west. We really noticed moving east to the eastern edge of the time zone. Boy, it gets dark early here. We could play baseball there in the end of June until 9:30, and the fireworks couldn't start until 10:30. Here they started at 9:30 the other night. But, you know, be that as it may, I like long days, and I'm sure I would like living way north in the summertime. Our kids were in Iceland a couple of weeks ago, and they took pictures of midnight, you know, and it was still light. And if you've been up north, you see, it doesn't really get dark. Kind of twilight, but it doesn't really get dark. But that's kind of the way it is. We live in an ever-changing amount of daylight, and I kind of like that. Scripture talks about light in many different ways in many different times, but what we want to talk about today is the verse that Pastor Linda read, John 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We're talking today about the light of life. I'm going to give you a little bit of a Hebrew lesson, just one word. Jesus created the light in Genesis 1:1, and you probably know that that word for God in Genesis 1, actually verse 3, it's the word Elohim, and it's a plural word. It wasn't one person that was creating the light, it was the three of them together, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So it's safe to say that Jesus created the light there. The light provides illumination. Isn't that nice? We don't have to walk around in darkness. Sometimes we help that. Of course, we have electricity. We have candles. We have flashlights, all kinds of things like that. And yet, I don't always appreciate light. If I'm sound asleep, I don't really like a bright light in my face. Do you? The other thing, at my age especially, I don't really like to see all those bright car lights coming with me when I'm driving at night, which we don't do that much anymore. But it isn't always good, but it's always there. The second thing light provides is warmth. Most of our heat involves some kind of a flame. Not all of it, but most of it. It's fun to watch a campfire, and you get to see and feel both of that. Most of our heat is supplied by wood or oil or sometimes coal, sometimes natural gas, those kinds of things. It feels best, at least to me, when you can feel the warmth. Thirdly, light provides healing. Sunlight. We need sunlight. We sometimes have to take some pills to get over the darkness that we have during the winter time. And of course, in some places of the world, it's much worse than that. We need vitamin D, and we get that from the sun. Sometimes without that, you get a cabin fever. And I also learned not long ago that there's a disease they call that. It's called SAD, or seasonal affective disorder, when you don't get enough sunlight. And so it contributes toward depression and things like that. And then laser surgery, that's a light, and that provides healing for eye surgery especially. So light is good for us in many different ways, and that the light that God created was the divine activity of the triune God. It came from nothing, and the light has continued to this day. So God, the triune God, Elohim, plural, created light in the very beginning. Now, that light also is contrasted with darkness then. Our eyes can't see in the dark. Some animals can. We've come up with night vision goggles, so it can help a little bit. But our eyes aren't made to see in the light. Now, the created light, what God created in verse 3, is different than sunlight, moonlight, and starlight. If we go down to verse 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons and days and years." Different light. In other words, there was light before the sun was created. Again, divine activity of the triune God. When he made the sun and moon and stars, that created order, and God is a God of order. And also, it helped to measure the times and the seasons. Well, but there's something different yet. There's light and there's darkness, and there's the light of God and the darkness of Satan. In Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, it talks about the fall of Lucifer and the origin, I guess we could say, of the devil. And that brought darkness into the world before creation even. Job 1 talks about the existence of Satan and Satan walking to and fro and talking with God, and that resulted in some of the issues for Job. But if we go to John chapter 3 and verse 19, it talks about that just a little bit differently. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. See, there's a contrast between light and darkness. God is light. Satan controls the darkness. I often wondered when I see in the paper all kinds of things that happened at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. From my perspective, not from my daughter's, but from mine, what are people doing up at 1:30 in the morning? We have one granddaughter who seldom goes to bed before that. But 1:30 in the morning, a lot of things bad happen in the darkness. Many crimes are committed at night. And so there's the contrast between the light that God says is good, the darkness which can be evil. The light in the Old Testament took the form of the law, and that was what they used to worship God, to get closer to God, so God got them to know him. They might not have known all that was set to happen and things like that, but they knew part of it, and they were looking forward to more. And so Jesus introduced the light to the Jews. The plan of God from the beginning was that the Messiah would come, and he would take care of all the things that were evil in the world. He would provide a way for the people to get back to God differently than the Old Testament sacrifices. Everything changed when the Messiah came. He was predicted in Isaiah chapter 9, several verses. It was reminded of those prophecies at his christening by Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2. And we see that Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human, was brought into the world to be the light of the world. He was born, he lived, he taught. And as he was maybe about two-thirds of the way through his ministry here, we come to the book of John, the portion of John in chapter 8, where he makes a very bold statement. Now, commentators tell us that he was probably visiting Jerusalem at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. Feast of the Tabernacles, or shelters, more we call it now. But it was a remembering time of when the Jews, when the Israelites were in the desert, time of the Exodus. They lived in tents or something like that time. And they did this festival once a year to remind them of those things that they had gone through. And in the evening of that festival in the temple area, they would light 4 large candelabra. And they shed light into the whole temple area, in fact, more than that, so they were very big. And in the middle of these lights coming on, Jesus says to the crowd, "I am the light of the world." So he was illustrating very much what they were seeing. Now, this was a bombshell. Some of them said, "Well, who on earth is this guy anyway?" Now, some of them knew him. Some of them knew what he had done and had seen some of his miracles. Some of them didn't believe him at all. Some of them thought he was just a rabble-rouser. But it was new and it was different. It was a bombshell, so to speak, saying, in all these other lights, I am the light of the world. The Old Testament had life, had light. There was a difference in the light and darkness during the plagues. There was a pillar of fire that led the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. There were lights at the festivals and things that they had. The Old Testament had light. The New Testament was light. The Old Testament had laws to measure up, but the New Testament had exposure. Let's look back at John 3, verse 19 that we read is a little bit negative. It's saying that the evil takes place in the darkness. Verse 20 goes another step forward. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Verse 20 is exposure. Verse 19 talked about darkness. Verse 20 talks about exposure. And verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what God has done has been, that what has been done is through God. Light equals truth. And this comes from God. There is physical light. Jesus healed. He opened people's eyes. That was good for people. It gave them things that were good for them. He raised people from the dead, but there was more than that. He brought spiritual light. And that's really what we think of him being as the light of the world. In John 10:10, it says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Abundant life, the King James Version says. Now we say life to the full, and that's both now and later. When Jesus ushered in the kingdom, as he was talking about here, it brought new light. It was light that John first talked about in the part that we read in the first chapter of the gospel. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then down to verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. This was the concept, that Jesus was coming into the world bringing light. So John talked about it there. Jesus mentioned it, I think it's 5 times. And he refers to it again. Paul mentions it again as he has his experience on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. There's a bright light that comes down upon him. And then as he's recounting that story to King Agrippa in chapter 28, he says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. And that's what Paul's whole message was about as well. The light came. The light brought different things. It wasn't covering of sins. It was forgiveness of sins. It wasn't law. It was grace. It wasn't works. It was faith. It wasn't animals. But it was God's Son that paid the price for our sins. But there's still one more step. Jesus was and is that light for now. Looking back, the Messiah had to come and scatter the darkness. He had to bring that light. The Romans, I think, were in political darkness. The Pharisees were in spiritual darkness. The common people were in personal darkness. And yet the Jews that knew the Messiah was coming had some light. And they knew and they found out that Jesus was the light. Jesus was in, by saying all these things, was proving his relationship to the Father. We mentioned that the triune God working together. Jesus here was showing that he represented God the Father, that he was God the Son. He talked about this a few other times, he illustrated it more times, and then to 3 of the disciples, he visibly showed this in his transfiguration, where his clothes turned shining white. His face was shining white. But then he told them, don't tell anybody about this yet. They're not ready for it. So Jesus was that light. He was the light in the dark world. Now for the Greek lesson. The Greek article there makes it plain. It wasn't that Jesus was a light. It was that he was light. It says, ego eimi ta phos tu kosmou. You get a couple words out of there? Okay. Ego eimi. Same thing as God was saying to Moses way back in Exodus. I am the name. And Jesus uses those same words in different language, of course. But saying, I am. So he goes to that part. But then he says, I am, there's an article there, the light, phos, photograph, those kinds of things, okay? Tu kosmou, the light of the world, the cosmos, okay? There, you learned your Greek for today. Very clearly, it isn't that Jesus was a light, he was the light. Many people are willing to believe that Jesus is a light. Yeah, he was a good guy, he was a good prophet. Far fewer people are willing to say he's the light of the world. And yet that he said. Jesus being the light was God's answer to the problem of sin in the world. It was the difference in sins being covered by the blood of animals and sins being forgiven by God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to eliminate the darkness. Physical darkness is part of life. Some of us are in dark spaces. It's difficult. Darkness is a part of life. But Jesus eliminated the spiritual darkness, which can also affect our physical darkness. Jesus said again, John 10:10, I am the resurrection and life. I will bring you life which is abundant, full. But there's a condition. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We need to follow. It's not just enough to say, yeah, he's the light. That's good. I believe that. I appreciate his life. I need light. I need his light. We need to follow. Are you following? Taking each step with Jesus? Trusting him? Communicating with him? I am the light of the world, he says, but we must follow. We must believe that he's God's son, that he lived and died for us. Not only in our head, but in our heart. And that's where the transformation takes place. It's only about a foot or 13 or 14 inches between our head and our heart. But transformation for real Christ followers comes by believing that, not only in our head, but with our whole being. This comes as a promise from Jesus Christ. He brings love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He gives us all this and eternal life too when we follow him. Jesus, the light of the world. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you bring light. You are light. Thank you, Lord, that even though we live in a world which has a lot of darkness, as we look around the world, so many people are in darkness. So many bad things going on, but Lord, we thank you that when we trust you, that you can eliminate those things for us. I pray, Lord, if there are those who are suffering dark times today, that you'd shed your light upon them. Give them faith to trust you. If there are those who know that you are the light but are not willing to share that with others, Lord, give us the strength and the grace to share that with others, that we might see that When you say, I'm the light of the world, it makes all the difference in that world. Thank you for your word, Lord. We pray that you would help us to apply it to our lives. In your name, amen.